Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the High Vibe Tribe podcast. I'm Marcy Newman, your host. I have a wonderful guest with me today, and I'm so excited to bring her to you because she's such a dear love in my heart. Please help me in welcoming Becca Hayden to our studio.
Oh, Marcy, thank you so much for having me. And I'm so happy to be talking with everyone and all of the people in your tribe, as I know that anyone following you is coming from a place of the heart. So thank you. I'm really honored to be here.
Well, I'm so honored to have you. And like I said, I'm excited to share you with everyone in our audience. So I guess without further ado, I just want to give everyone a little bit of your background, and then we're going to dive in because I have so many questions for you. And I'm sure our audience does too. So Becca is a wellness coach, an educator who has lived, worked, and taught in various places throughout the world. And by the way, everyone, Becca is coming to us today from Turkey. And we're going to hear more about that. But her life experiences in classroom education, kinesiology, numerology, yoga, and vision therapy weave their way into all she does. Becca is currently, as I said, living and teaching in Turkey. And I want to tell everyone how I met you, Becca, and how you became so near and dear to my heart. So I met Becca as my yoga teacher when I was living in Boulder, Colorado, and it was my first experience with Kundalini yoga.
Right.
And I had always had this, this connection to Kundalini and had never really had the opportunity to explore it. And so the studio that I was practicing through, I kept getting drawn, right, to Kundalini. And I sat in on my first class. And I felt my soul come free.
Beautiful. Yeah.
And I could feel, I'm getting emotional as I'm thinking about it. I could feel the joy rising up from within me. So much so, I couldn't wipe the smile off my face. I was just in this joyous rapture. It was the most incredible thing. And the class itself, I remember, was so much fun. So I was also laughing, but it was the joy that struck me so deeply. And needless to say, I attended that class whenever I could, although I just didn't have enough time with you, Becca, because you left. I think you left before I left.
I do believe so. Yes.
And All right.
Because I went to South Korea first to teach for a year. Yes.
Okay. All right. Let's just talk. All right. First off, thank you for my wonderful experience with Kundalini. And
Marcy, thank you for sharing that story. I mean, I don't often hear the full experience someone has. You know, at the end of a class, someone may come up and tell me a little bit, but again, thank you for sharing that. That is your Kundalini experience, right? Thank you. It's beautiful. And as an instructor and one who, when I teach Kundalini, it is about being able to allow people to have their experience and for us to have a collective experience. So thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. All right. So you left Boulder and went to South Korea. Can you just tell us, what was it? What was the catalyst for you leaving beautiful Boulder and going to South Korea? What happened there?
Yeah, interesting story. So it wasn't my first time living in South Korea. I had lived and taught in South Korea back in the late 90s and had left in 2000. So it was about 18 years later that I returned. And I returned because I really listened to my intuition. And if you, you know, in, I think it was 2015, 2016, I just kept feeling and hearing, okay, start, you know, start going through your things and making sure you have everything in order, because it's going to be time to move internationally again. You know, because I lived in South Korea for 3 years in the 90s. And then in the early 2000s, I lived in Guatemala for 3 years. Mm-hmm. So again, experience of that. And then I went to Boulder, Colorado, and I just stayed, which was amazing for me to stay for so long in Boulder. And yet I knew it was time. And in fact, I knew that at this time, instead of being in Seoul, in the capital city, I was going to be in a smaller city in the southern part of South Korea. And that's where I ended up getting a job at a university in a small city in the southern part of South Korea. So that's how I landed there, because I have a master's degree in teaching English. And that allows me kind of to go and explore different parts of the world and still do my other work play as well. So that's how I got there.
So when you were in South Korea, did you continue practicing and teaching your yoga?
I did in ways. I always have my own practice. That's a given for me. That's kind of the tone that helps me to stay in myself wherever I am. And I was teaching somewhat to some friends and then some extended friends in South Korea at the time. But I'm someone who's never liked being on video. And so I wasn't going to reach out to people on video, my classes, my, students like you and others who were like, oh, but we miss you. We'd love to have a class. But I've been really hesitant to be on video. And then everything changed in 2020.
Yeah. So the reason I asked if you had continued teaching, I mean, first off, you're such a wonderful teacher, but I also wondered, the shift in community, right? Mm-hmm. So you're in a university setting. Let's face it, Boulder is like a little microcosm of what everybody would like to be experiencing in their lives, right? It's just a wonderful opportunity. So in going to South Korea again and being in that university setting, because you didn't dive into teaching yoga again in a constructed classroom, was it because you wanted to explore other things, or was it that you felt it wasn't as welcome, or like, what was your decision?
Part of it was I hadn't been teaching in a traditional classroom at a university in, I think it was about 15 years. And so it was like, for me to get back in it's like riding a bicycle again. You just feel a little awkward, uncomfortable. I felt like, oh, do I really know how to do a lesson plan again and all of that. And so I was focused on that. And every time I kind of put out the idea of, oh, a yoga class, I mean, everybody's like, oh yes, here in Korea, we do like this yoga and Pilates together. And it sounded very much like a vinyasa or an ashtanga to me. And I just thought, okay, that's fine. That's very different from what I teach. And and when there's also a language barrier, to try to say, okay, and now you're going to, lie on your back and you're going to flop up and down. May have been lost in translation a little bit until of course I did find a community of some Koreans, but also an international community, and they loved it. Right.
Yes,
and those who are drawn to Kundalini, I trust, it's like, okay, they're coming for their reason and they're going to get what they want and need. So, yes, but it took a while. That wasn't until about 7 months in to my time there.
Yeah, because I know for myself, having traveled internationally, that there's a certain aspect of travel where we just have to be present with what our surroundings afford us, and also to the community at large. And it's just so interesting to hear how it's a metamorphosis, right, for us.
Yes.
And that whole finding of community is such an important piece for us to really become then the expression of all of us, right? The wholeness of us.
Yes.
So.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. So, I was just interested in that aspect. And so then, Becca, how did you end up going to Turkey?
Right. So
you realize, by the way, Becca, we're all living vicariously through you here.
Well,
so give us every detail.
I know, as I'm, you know, posting on my own personal account on Instagram and Facebook, I know so many of my friends from high school and college and beyond saying, we are traveling through you, and they appreciate the photos.
Yes.
And Turkey is such a photogenic country, so it makes it easy. So I was in South Korea, but I knew that it was great to go back. And I knew it was just for a year. That was to get me started again in the field of academia, so that I could then travel other places and teach. Mm-hmm. And there's a program, basically a teacher exchange program through the U.S., under the auspices of the U.S. Department of State. And it's called the English Language Fellowship Program. And so anyone out there in your audience, if they are someone who has a master's degree in teaching English and has 2 years of experience, so that's not even a lot that's necessary, that you can apply for this program. And basically, if you're accepted into the program, you're put into an application pool and you're matched with a country who needs the skills that you offer. And I have training in teaching teachers how to teach English. So that's kind of why I matched with Turkey. And you know, we had a general idea of, we could say, well, we prefer this part of the world, but I was pretty open. And when I heard I was matched with Turkey, I was over the moon, because I'd been here with my sister when I was living in Korea before, and she was living in Israel. We met up and we were going to go to Turkey and then to Greece during a month-long sort of vacation that we had. And we never got to Greece. I've never been to Greece, although there is an island right off the coast that I look at. So I see Greece or a part of Greece, but we loved it so much. So I was just thrilled to be matched with Turkey. And that's how I came back as a fellow at a university in Istanbul. So I got to be in a city of 17 million people, but there were times I would be on the bus or going across the Bosphorus or taking a ferry across, or, you know, seeing all of the iconic images of Istanbul. And I'd have to pinch myself, like, I live in Istanbul. So that's how I got there. And I was able to travel a little bit before the pandemic, but my year was cut short because of the pandemic. And because it's a U.S. Department of State, right? It's government program. They're like, oh, you have to come back. So I decided on my own this year, September through July, to come back on my own. It's easier to teach my students even online when we're in the same time zone. And it's a beautiful country. Yeah.
Yes.
So I get to travel around here, which is lovely. I don't have to be in Istanbul because we're online. And so I went to the Black Sea first, and then down to the middle of the country where it's kind of like the Badlands of Turkey, with all these interesting rock structures and formations. Beautiful, but very dry, mm-hmm. and then came down to the southern part of Turkey. Yeah.
Mm. It's interesting. I'm actually reading a novel that's taking place in Istanbul.
Oh,
so
nice.
it's so funny. But so tell me, how do you find the community there in terms of, and I know you're teaching English,
right?
But are you once again able to find community where you can teach and practice your yoga? Or the other wonderful things that you do.
Right. I was going to say, because, I've been doing kinesiology, but also meditation and mindfulness. I do a lot of that with my students. At the beginning of every class, I call it life skills. So we do about 10 minutes of a meditation, mindfulness practice, something that helps to connect them back to themselves, to their heart, to their own awareness, right? Things like that. So yeah, I've been doing that with my students. And community, yeah, though I'm an introvert, I would call myself a social introvert. I love people, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm always one to strike up a conversation. And so that's how I've actually found community. It's not like, okay, I'm going to go find a yoga center, because I don't know where they are. I haven't looked. just like our conversation is organic. That's how I like to be in another country, is very organic. And I always feel like I'm definitely drawn to the people that become my friends and to the groups that I become my community. Mm. And so I have that here as well in Kosh. And I had planned to continue moving, but I love it so much here. It's incredible. We've got the Taurus Mountains behind us, and then the Mediterranean Sea in front of us. Wow. And so I walk along the Mediterranean Sea to walk into town, which is pretty spectacular. So I've stayed. and where I've been asked to teach some yoga is, there's an old amphitheater. So the amphitheater is probably about 4,000 years old. And at the base of the amphitheater, where the stage is where the impromptu yoga classes take place. It's sort of a WhatsApp community.
Oh, wonderful.
So I'll be teaching there. Yeah.
Interesting. How beautiful. Mm-hmm. tell me something. Yes. Let's call you a global citizen.
Sure.
Right? Because you certainly are in so many ways. As a global citizen who has such a high level of spiritual awareness, what do you think is, well, what do you bring to all of these places that you travel to? What do you think is your purpose in being there?
That's a great question. And it's one that I've thought about, because it goes far beyond the work that I'm doing, as much as it's teaching how to write an academic essay, right?
Sure.
And I was also teaching a career planning class, which is really essential for these young people as well. Beyond that, and even beyond the life skills, that, I mean, all of my students know, and they come to class and they know, okay, we're gonna be able to relax here. We're gonna be able to feel like we're ourselves, that I get to know each and every one of them, even online, that they feel seen and heard. That's one thing that I feel like for any students, wherever I am and whatever I'm teaching, it's about connection. And so it's connecting with my students, connecting with my colleagues, but it's also, this is kind of the deeper layer of it. It's connecting with the earth wherever I am. That becomes kind of my access point, if you will, for the connections that I feel like I'm communicating with the earth wherever I am. And now it's the mountains and the Mediterranean Sea. I seem to be drawn to mountains and seas, right? Or bodies of water. And so there's something rather mysterious, yet I can feel it in my body that I'm here in particular geographical areas, not simply and not just to make a connection with humans, right, and other beings on this planet, but also to connect in with the earth itself. That's been a really beautiful process for me.
It sounds it. Do you think it has something to do with the ley lines or?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
Spot on. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we, of course, know how the universe works. Mm-hmm. We know there are no coincidences.
Correct.
And how when we recognize that each place that we're in, it almost is like it affords us the opportunity to step through a portal, right? A completely different vibrational frequency.
Yes.
And it's one where, I mean, it's been my experience where I also have felt this really strong recognition that I'm there to give something specific. Mm-hmm. In that moment, in that place, there's part of who I am and the frequency that I carry with me that is waiting for me. Mm-hmm. And I think from, I should say, I feel from what you've described that this awareness, so even though you might be matched through this program.
Sure, right.
You had an awareness that you were going there for something specific. Is that correct?
That is beautifully said. Well, yes. Well said, Marcy. And I know that it's happening. The specific purpose for which I'm here is happening because life flows. I forget when I was just walking in town the other day and I was looking at the sea and looking at the orange trees and grabbing an orange to take home from the tree. And I thought, I live in another country, one, not the one that I was born in, right? And yet it feels like it's supposed to be this way, right? It just feels right. It feels easy. It feels calming. Beyond, it is joy. It's joy, complete joy for, and that's, I believe it's this exchange that happens not only with the communities where I am, but it is the earth. It's as though I'm reclaiming or reconnecting or inviting an aspect of myself that I may not have been aware of. And I find it in each place. And I am a global citizen. I will continue to do this.
So what I'm being so struck with, and by the way, I had God bumps as you were talking and about the significance of being where you are. Mm. But I'm also so struck by what we have to learn from you. And that is what I'm hearing as you describe, you know, going from place to place and how, so my question about you connecting like right away, right through a yoga community or whatever, would be what, and I don't want to make any generalities, but it's coming, as it's what might, it what it's what someone else might do, knowing that they have this immediate connection, this immediate commonality, right? And that you would be able to sort of step right in and feel perhaps connected to the area, supported in some ways.
Right.
But what I'm so taken by is the fact that you allow yourself to stretch your roots and go where you've been planted but not trying to recreate what you had in other areas. Correct. And I think that lesson is so valuable because we often do that, don't we?
Yes.
We make these assumptions that we have to be the same. So it's like we might travel, but then we take who we are and we just keep planting it in those different places without actually integrating into the energy of what is there. And that, Becca, is what I want you to share more about, because that's what I'm feeling. Your experience is so unusual because I believe you have this very unusual awareness. And perhaps it's because you have such a strong connection to Gaia. But can you talk more about this? And is it something that you recognize that you're doing deliberately?
Great questions. And yes, and yes and no, in the fact that sometimes I'm just surprised by, wow, how incredibly intricate the woven aspects of my life become. When it really is, as you said, it's about not trying to recreate something from before. And I think what's really helped me with that is that I've always been, even when I was a child and before I knew it was called meditation, that I have an ability, and it's also a skill that I've been able to train myself and others, right? That it's about being in that, in a moment, and it's really like I listen to the trees, the first, before meeting any single person, for me, is it's really just getting to know the sound of the earth where I am, and listening to that and being guided that way, right? And knowing what my routine is. My routine isn't always the same wherever I am throughout the world, right? Sometimes it is a full yoga practice. And sometimes, like here, I've got this great piece of earth and land to sit on. And it's really a seated practice where it's a meditation, because that's what wants to come in. Part of it is, there's a whole long story of the journey to be able to get to this place where I just absolutely trust, right? I get here and I trust that the people that I need to meet will come in, that I am safe, that I don't have to worry about things, that I am being supported on all levels. Boy, such a great question, because again, it's something that's also in some ways hard to articulate. Right? But part of it, the image I keep seeing that keeps coming in, it reminds me, when I lived in Guatemala, I lived in this town on Lake Atitlan. So obviously I keep being drawn to bodies of water, and it had volcanoes around it. And what I would do every day there, my routine was to go swimming there and just to float on my back. And it felt like I was reminding myself there, that's where I got this real awareness of trust, trust, trust. I was just being held by the water, by Gaia. Part of it is also trusting that people, wherever you are on this planet, kind, generous, caring people. And when we know that, I think we also find those people when we trust in that. So it's the earth, it's also people, it's the biggest thing is really trusting and loving people. You know, and finding joy in the small things. Like the bees. Today it was in many days, it's the bees. So right out here I have all these different bushes, and I love bees in particular because I have my animal blueprints, right? And so bees are number four. It's about structure. And so here they are. And I sit outside and I hear them humming around me. And I love being part of that. And I talk to them and watch them waggle. And that to me, that would be enough for one day. And yet I have other experiences each day. But it's about seeing that the small aspects of joy that really makes everything come alive for me.
I mean, what you are describing is truly living in this mindfulness, right? Where you are so connected to what's going on around you, and yet very much able to also live in the realm of a more constructed creation of that, right?
Yes.
And what I think is so powerful is what happens when we give ourselves permission to live outside of the box, to not even have expectations of ourselves, but just being present no matter where we are. And to be that love, as you described, and being able to trust whoever is going to be drawn to that light will be welcomed by you. And whatever it is that you need will be drawn into that light and will be welcomed to you. And it's such an opposition to how we are conditioned to respond, right? Or to be in the world. I shouldn't even say perhaps respond, because we believe that we have to create wherever we are based on a blueprint that has been programmed within us by our, you know, the societies that we've been conditioned by, our families, our religions, our cultures, whatever it is. And so what you're actually suggesting by the way you're living your life is that there's another way. And it's a way of truly being authentic, because you're not trying to recreate scenarios where you remain the same.
Right. Beautifully said again. Yeah.
It's marvelous.
Yeah, you have a beautiful way of being able to see what is there and being able to name it and articulate it. Yes. Yeah.
So, I mean, what an absolute delight. And I have to ask also, this connection, okay, that you have to the earth and this wanderlust, right, that lives through you.
Right.
What kind of flack do you get from your family and friends back in the States? It's an important thing for us to talk about, because I know it's very often what prevents people from giving themselves permission to experience what you're experiencing.
And I have definitely hesitated in the past because of it. And so my father doesn't do this anymore, but he used to say, "Oh, why don't you just settle down? why do you keep moving from place to place?" Because I will interject here that everything that I own fits into five bags. And I have a bicycle. I will put that. That won't fit into a bag. That's in Colorado at a friend's house. And I brought two bags with me. So three bags aren't even with me. So again, that's the way I live. And so I have family members who haven't, especially in the past, said, "Oh, but settle down and get a house and have a family." And I really thought that I wanted, at a certain point in my 20s, late 20s, I was like, okay, better go back to the States so that I can like have a family. And interesting when I realized, actually, one of my many roles is to be a mentor for young women who realize, actually, I don't want to have children either. I love children. Again, I love kids of all ages. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm a teacher in part. I'm just so happy. So happy. I can't reiterate that enough. I'm so happy that I made the choice that I have, and that I trusted that choice, because at first I thought I wanted children, and I realized it was the programming that I'd heard over and over. And I'd heard students, oh, you'll be such a wonderful mother, Miss Hayden, you know, all of that. And until finally I thought about it, I'm like, no, that's not what I want. And so again, those are all the things I had to deconstruct as well. All the things that were voices that I thought were inside of me, but in fact, they were just beliefs that had been programmed, as you said, by all these different parts. And so over the years, friends, they know, okay, that's Becca. That's who she is. I know it can be difficult. Like when I leave, say, Boulder, which became a community for me for years, and, people were sad. And I do understand that it's harder for the people who stay than it is for me, because I get to be in a totally new place, right? Where I don't have memories of my friends. And so it doesn't have that same tug at the heartstrings, if you will.
Right.
I think it's become where now people are like, okay, so wherever you are after the pandemic, we'll come to visit you, right? So it gives people an opportunity at least to start that way. But there's been significant challenges around resistance, not within me, but around me, which created resistance within myself.
Or sure. Form. Yeah. And I think it's important. It's an important part of the journey, because you know, when we recognize that there is this yearning in our heart to experience life differently, and we are confronted with all of the confines that we have been programmed with, we must journey through it. And, yeah. You know, it is part of that journey is risking, right? Mm-hmm. Risking love, right? Mm-hmm. There's so much that's part of it, of, you know, being afraid that we won't be loved, we won't be
accepted.
No. Accepted, exactly. We won't be respected. Mm-hmm. You know, eyes will roll, and you know, all right. of that. And
right, yeah. I used to get the question. So, you're back in Boulder. Are you here permanently? And I say, well, that's really not part of my vocabulary.
And that's hard for people to accept. And on the other hand, it also is like this little flash of light that they start to, whether they're, you know, consciously aware of it or not, they start to wonder, well, what if? What if I could live differently? And not necessarily the way you're living, right?
Right, but right. No.
What if I could break out of some sort of, you know, box that I've put myself in? Mm-hmm. But
right.
It's so wonderful to be able to share these experiences through your eyes and how successful you've been in sort of, you know, working through those voices that would have you shrink down to live your life according to the expectations of others. And I know for myself, you know, what a journey that is. Yeah. So my hat's off to you.
Thank you, Marcy. Thank you.
Really.
It's really interesting, and that shrinking down, that's exactly what happened and did happen each time I didn't listen to the voice of, actually, I am a global citizen. I have an interesting relationship with nationalism, right? I am a global citizen. And so, yeah, my wings really expand when I'm plunked down in the middle of a culture that I'm learning the language and getting to know all the sights, the smells, the sounds, the foods, just the cultural norms. And because it's interesting that, and this is another reason to be someone, if you are interested in saying, oh, maybe I might like to dip my toe into living in another country, maybe. I mean, there are so many ways to get outside of a box, but this being one, and just even for, 6 weeks or a couple of months. What's interesting is your identity, the one that others hold for us, right? Our family who may always see us as who we were as a child, right? Our friends who see us in a certain way. When you go somewhere else, I can be whoever wants to be at that time.
That's right.
I can entirely remake myself, but not in that necessarily, well, this is who I want to be, but sometimes it is. I want to try being this kind of person that mm-hmm. actually is okay to be on video.
Right.
And it's amazing what happens when we get out of our way, our own way, right?
I love that. I love it. I totally can relate to that. Mm. So I want to get back to this incredible connection you have to Gaia and how it has manifested this absolutely magnificent perspective that you have, that you are bringing to life. And that is your Key to Me project. Mm-hmm. And these animal blueprints that you create, our audience, you must go to keytomeproject.com. Mm-hmm. You have never seen anything like this. This magnificent.
True, because I really, so just to give people an idea, okay, Key to Me, the idea of Key to Me project is that idea that we all have these keys to ourselves to be able to thrive, right? And that sometimes we get stuck in the box. And just as Marcy, the wonderful work that you do, right, to help to connect with the heart and find that freedom within yourself. Same thing, say similar, but in different ways. And I've been working with numbers, the language of numbers, since I was a child. And I was numerically dyslexic. But my mom was a math teacher and my brother is a math whiz.
Oh,
and
why?
And why was it that for me, somebody would tell me a phone number and I would switch the numbers? It was so irritating. And I, I was always a good student. So I really wanted to get better at it. And so what I did when I was in fifth or sixth grade, I decided, okay, what I'm going to do, I was resolute about this. I was going to sit down and look at these numbers until they didn't scramble, until they didn't move. And now I know what I did is I went into a state of meditation, right? I didn't know it at the time. And what happened is these numbers, which before were just numbers that you use to compute something, or for me, they mixed up. They had personalities, they had frequencies and vibrations that have information with them. And so I started learning more and more about numerology, and I really prefer the language of numbers. It has no hold on it, it has no any of the strings attached. And so I started creating these charts through some practices in Kundalini yoga, called a blueprint. And I wanted it to be a visual, because we're visual people, not just hearing about ourselves. And I still had people who are like, okay, this is great. And I love it. But they had to keep asking me, what again? What does 4 mean? And what does 9 mean? And because of my connection with the earth and how I see numbers in the earth, right? And around me, decided, okay, well, actually, each number has a frequency that is the same or very, very similar as a particular animal in nature. And so with the help of a couple of friends, we went through our like animal medicine books and trying to figure out, okay, what are the qualities of these animals, and found these 12 animals that represent 0 through 11. And what these numbers can do, right, is we all have a blueprint when we're born, and it doesn't tell us what we're going to do. It's just like an architect has a blueprint, and it gives us the suggestion of, okay, where might the bathroom be? And what, you know, that would be a better place over here. And then you make the structure, you decide, you create the choices. But it gives an idea of, okay, what's your basic personality? What is the little thing that you can do? What's the little tool that helps you to come back to being grounded in yourself? Right. And then what is your homework assignment in this lifetime? What's your gift that comes so naturally to you? Who are you in relationship? And so there are 12 different positions that represent this animal blueprint. And then the animals are just to help you say, for instance, I am a 10 elephant heart. And if you think of an elephant and you know qualities of an elephant, it's a big, compassionate love, right? And so there's so much more to it, but you just get more of a visceral feeling of each number when you have an animal, I think, and what students and clients have said, that it helps to connect as well. So that's what key to me.
And so you actually create an ebook, right? For people to have this visual experience of experiencing themselves through this alternative energy.
Yes. Yeah. A different way of looking at something.
Yeah.
It's a 44 pages actually of a personalized with your own name in it. That's really just for you. And I had this idea many, many years ago because I thought, wow, we are all unique, beautiful, beautiful beings on this planet. And I, especially because I work with kids, I thought if kids understood, this is my homework assignment, oh, these are my gifts. I just really felt that we could get over some of we'd still have lessons and challenges, but we wouldn't have to deal with the resistance that comes from outside and inside when I can stand in my power and say, yeah, this is my gift, or this is my projection. This is what I offer into the world. It's become just a way to help people to embrace themselves.
It's really amazing and so beautiful. I looked at, you know, the example that you have, and it's just gorgeous. And I can't help but think what a gorgeous gift that is to give to someone that you truly love. Mm-hmm. One of the things I know that I could feel as I was, listening to you speak about it and just looking at, you know, what and how you create it, is that perhaps, you know, even unknowingly, unconsciously to the person who takes that in about themselves, there is an automatic connection to Mother Earth and to all of nature, and to recognize that we are one with the animal kingdom. We are one with all of nature. And I think that it actually starts to initiate that connection in a way of, well, we used the word earlier about acceptance of self, right? So often we forget who we really are and our connection to all that is. We are all that is.
Yes.
And how we can share the vibrational frequency like, it's so interesting that, you know, you said that your animals is an elephant. Mine also is the mother elephant, and how we can draw from those energies, those frequencies, but also the personality, the mannerisms, like, well, what would a mother elephant do under these circumstances? And so it also gives us guidance.
Yes. And that's exactly what it becomes so much richer with the animals, because I have now clients who have their animal blueprints, and they say they can't be outside now without being so much more aware of, again, even if it's not the 12 animals that are in the book, it's like it's starting to really connect with that. So yes, and because each of us has 12 different positions, and some will have as many as 10 of the different animals, if not more, some fewer, just depending upon the numbers. So you're dealing with all of these different ways of tuning in to a different source of power, a different source of understanding of yourself, by, again, getting out of your own way, right? By saying, okay, I'm going to see it through the hawk's perspective, or I'm going to see it through the monkey's perspective. and that, just hearing that, and we all have an association already with animals, hearing that can already start a shift. So that's interesting.
Rebecca, do you believe that we connect to different frequencies of animals at different times in our lives?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So it's not like you have just one power animal. You're actually more fluid than that.
Well, that's the thing, is that some forms of numerology, they say, okay, this is your path number. There's one number. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I learned that, because again, I'd been working with numbers for years since I was a kid. And I'm like, well, I'm not just one number. I'm a pretty multifaceted. and so what I love about the blueprint is it is 12 different, and again, you probably won't have 12 different animals, but you can have anywhere between 5 to 10 different animals. And we have all of the animals all the time. We have the earth in us, right? So even if you're hearing this and you're like, oh, okay, just start connecting in, looking at a honeybee and understanding what that honeybee is offering, the message, the vibration, the frequency for you right now. Whatever that animal, whatever, where you're on the earth, go outside if you can and put your feet, bare feet on maybe not right now where you are.
A little chilly.
You'll be a little cold. Sorry about that, everybody. Where I am is actually quite warm, so I can do that.
But yeah.
Wait until it warms up a little bit.
Wow. Yeah. I can't begin to tell you like how full I feel from our conversation, and really how much you have enriched my the lens that I'm looking through in this moment, how my heart feels so expansive. And I know that our audience has got to be resonating in their way as well, and have felt these, what I call, our heart shifts. And I'm so sorry that our time has come to an end. I feel like we could just talk forever.
I think we could, Marcy. This has been such a delight, such a privilege, such an honor to speak with you and with your extended community, right? This is really, thank you so much, Marcy.
Really such a joy for me. So before we leave, we must tell people how they can reach you, how they can find out more about this, Key to Me project, and how they can reach out.
So the easiest way to reach out is to go to key2meproject.com, and there you'll see a sample of what an animal blueprint looks like. And I also do other things. I'm a kinesiologist as well as a coach. So there are things you can do just even if you want to reach out. I offer 20 minutes just to find out what it is and if we'd be a good fit and if you'd be interested and an animal blueprint or anything that I offer. So key, K-E-Y, the number 2, me, M-E, project, project.com. And I'm Becca, and please always feel free to reach out and ask questions. I'm happy to answer either written or calling at a time when I'm not sleeping in Turkey. The time differences are definitely harder here.
Yes, they are. They are.
As we found out.
Yeah. Well, again, thank you so very much. And thank you to our audience for giving us your open hearts and open minds. And of course, all of your time and attention to share in this wonderful experience.
Yes, thank
that
you.
That we have had with Becca. Mm. Yeah. And we can see the world differently, can't we? Well, thank you all. Until next time, I, of course, remain your Heart Shift Coach. And I'll see you soon. Take care and thank you so much, Becca. Bye-bye now.
Bye. Whoa.